Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. We're just a few days away from September 18th in the big Republican meetings. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show, Two Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericasCitizenPress.com. Great conservative website, along with Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McCallum. You can look them up and get information at her at just Denver Cynogenics. Today, we're going to have a lot to talk about. We've got Dave Williams, State Representative Dave Williams, true grassroots hero anymore. He should be a congressperson. He should be governor, whatever we can convince him to run for, too. I think he just needs to stay involved because he just does a great job. We're getting him on the phone here any second now. And then we're going to talk about a couple things. I mean, a lot going on. New Quinnipiac poll, the Biden people that decided to have the vaccine mandates because it polled well for them when they did their poll testing, apparently miscalculated. His polling numbers are now underwater for the first time for the coronavirus handling, flip-flop in August. In August, more people sort of supported how he was handling it. Wow. Now, more people do not support it. This is after the mandates. And I'm going to call this, almost always Chuck is right about things, but I'm going to call this as a Julie is right. I said.
We'll monitor this. We'll fact check.
We'll fact
this
check.
Claim,
we'll
this
fact,
claim of
that me being right. Previously, though, I had indicated, I said, I think it's going to be like Afghanistan, right? It depends on what you ask the poll. If you were to say, do you want to get out of Afghanistan, people would say yes. If you were to say, do you want to abandon thousands of Americans and have them killed by the Taliban there? People would say, well, no, I don't want that. Same thing with this mandate. If you were to say, do you think we need to get a handle on coronavirus? People would say yes. Mm-hmm. But if we're saying, do you think people should be forced to lose their jobs and be fired? And the government can tell you that you have to give your baby a vaccine that hasn't been tested, that's not even a vaccine. I think people are like, well, no, you know, that's not what I want. Okay, they're trying to get Dave Williams on the phone. Let me know, Thomas, I'm pretty sure I gave you the right number. I mean, he's upset.
That's a 50-50.
There could be. Could be
50-50 chance there.
What else is going on? This is interesting. We have not really talked about this on the show just because there's been so much going on. But the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder, Tina Peters, there's been a lot of controversy raised by, you know, Democrat Jenna Griswold, who has no experience in the Secretary of State's office.
Wayne Williams.
And, you know, about how she's handled things in Mesa County. They are trying to remove her basically from participating in upcoming elections, which to me, it's like, I don't understand how, whether you agree with her or disagree with her, how the Secretary of State, a Democrat, can just start removing elected Republican officials because she doesn't like it.
And replace him with Rhino. Republican.
I mean, let's just look at Biden and all the corruption and criminality right? If we were going to start removing people from office because we didn't like what they did or we thought there might be some questions about their, you know, how they handled something, I don't think there are very many politicians who would be in office. But anyway, Scott Gessler, a former Secretary of State, is representing her and is hinting that they may be filing a counterclaim of sorts. So that could be kind of interesting. And then the whole General Milley thing. You know, every time you turn around, there's sort of another development, and we'll try to kind of unravel that for you. I think the bottom line on that issue is that the conservative treehouse is right, that what it shows is there is a deep state in this country that does not answer to any of the elected officials. They don't care, right? They don't respond to any of them. They do whatever they want. Okay, I always got the answering machine for Dave. Okay, Thomas, thank you. Keep trying here again. We'll get him. They keep, are you texting him? Wait, Chuck, you can't call him live on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, tell him he's live on the air. Guys, Dave answers the phone in an inappropriate way. It's like, Let me read Dr. Donna's comments. And who is to say we do not have a handle on the SARS-CoV vaccine too? Most of this, absolutely right, Donna, is a psyop. And then she says, a local chair attempting to remove elected PCs, youth has its advantages, but needs to be tempered with wisdom. Dave is a professional. I absolutely agree with that. But anyway, we'll get Dave on here in a few minutes. He knows he's just busy doing Dave Williams stuff. And we'll get, I'm trying to break down the Millie thing because I think, again, whatever it is it shows the deep state. Oh, and then
it's a combination, as you pointed out before, that you have some, you know, the Pentagon is combined with so-and-so, but the
Secretary of State is combined with the intelligence people.
Right.
And I think the thing is, though, none of them feel like they're answerable to anyone. Look at the disgraceful performance of the FBI over and over and over again. Today some of the testimony before Congress of some of those gymnasts, right? The gymnasts who were sexually abused when they were little girls by that Dr. Nazareth, who's now in jail, but they're talking about how the FBI ignored them forever. And they're like, you know, look, that's great that he's in jail and he's behind bars, but the people who ignored it have to be held accountable. So Ray fired, I guess, the agent who was actually handling the case.
Oh, wow. On full retirement and every penny he's got. Don't overdo it. That gives us total belief in the FBI.
If they had said, hey, Dr. Nazar, he's abusing little girls, he's sexually assaulting little girls, that's okay. But he was seen at this Capitol on January 6th. He would have been in prison without, boom, like that. If they had to make it up.
Had something to do with the Michigan governor and the conspiracy that they invented. I mean, it's hard to believe the FBI could sink any lower than it's sinking. I know a new show on TV. Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. It's going to show them bursting into the wrong house and arresting people January 6th. Yeah. And it's going to show them, hi, gymnast. Oh, you were sexually abused, dozens of little girls? We're talking hundreds of little girls by this guy? Oh, my God. Well, we're busy.
I'm writing the report down right now. No. Did you read? I don't know. Someone, Biles, or one of them was saying, she reported everything. And then only find that the only report they ever did was false about her.
Right. They made up what she was saying.
Those wonderful 302 reports or where the hell.
Right. Like they would never falsify a 302 report, would they? No, particularly with the Russia investigation. But here again, it's like, has anything happened? Christopher Wray is still heading the FBI.
No, yeah,
right.
No problem. They got rid of the one guy and get him a full retirement.
Right. And so again, you have all of these agencies, these bureaucracies, basically, that are not answerable to anybody. And they do this over and over again. And they keep doing it over and over again, so we'll talk about that too. While we wait for Dave, why don't you explain to folks what's going on and maybe sort of lay the foundation real briefly for people who maybe have not been kind of up to speed on the whole
sure.
thing.
Sure. We have been having this grassroots effort for now since late spring to opt out of the democratically imposed system where unaffiliateds can vote in Republican elections. They tried to require it in some states, lost that. So here they gave us 75% opt-out, provided 75% of all the people.
75% of the state central committee, which is about, how many?
500
people.
But
have to vote to opt-out.
Any particular meeting, you have a quorum of a third, but usually don't have more than, often about 70%. That's pretty good attendance. So getting 75 is impossible.
So it's unconstitutional, basically.
It's interesting. So you have the opt-out, the people want to stay in saying, yes, I was against 102, one. Two, I think it's unconstitutional. Three, we ought to keep going with it.
They keep saying, and we've talked about this, the establishment people, and here's the thing, and you can't say this, but I can. The people who want to keep the current, let me back up. What has happened is the idea of unaffiliated voters voting in Republican elections, Republican primaries, not the general election. We're talking about the primary. Why would you want, like I said, it'd be like asking somebody who doesn't live in your HOA to vote to set the rules for the HOA. Right. And in fact, who maybe lived in sort of a competing HOA to vote for your HOA rules. Why would you want to do that? If the person wants to vote in a Republican primary, all they need to do is go to the Secretary of State's website, click a button, and boom, they're a Republican and they can vote in the primary. They can vote and then unregister if they don't want to stay registered. It's not like it's some massive Jim Crow thing. So that in itself is bad enough. But the reality, what happened is the race has been, or the primary elections, the Republican primary elections have been essentially invaded, infected, taken over by Democrat dark money. So the Democrat dark money is meddling in the Republican elections. Why the establishment consultant class wants this to continue is because they're making money. These consultants, they get paid the same whether a candidate wins or loses. They don't care. Right there, they get paid the same either way.
Well, Ron Hanks wrote a great letter to the SEC members. Why did the establishment want this? Well, why do they want Catherine Murdoch to pour tons of money in for weak candidates and for candidates who will go along with the Democratic agenda? Because they're happy just getting a little piece of the pie, as long as they can just get around the edges, just a little dollar or two, they'll take that. And they want to lose. They're happy to lose.
But they don't care.
Well, they love losing. They do a great job of losing.
Well, as we know, because there's only one. I mean, look what's happened since this went into effect, what, in 2016, the 2016 election?
2018 is the first election.
Oh, was the first, okay. Okay, and so we were devastated, right? The Republican Party. And so the establishment would have you say, oh, we're on the cusp. We're on the cusp, this close to winning. We just need the right candidate. It's like, no. Susan Beckman from Arapahoe County pointed out the Democrats have created an electoral system in Colorado where, as she said, they could run a dog. The name doesn't matter.
They have run dogs. Phil Weiser's a dog.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I don't know what kind of dog, but he's a dog.
Not a pit bull, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a system. So Chuck and a group of grassroots people have said, what we need to do is take control of a Republican primary back. And that's
only step one. I mean, right. I mean, that's not going to solve all the other rules they've changed, all the other ones that made it impossible for Republicans to win. But unless we start, we will have candidates that are just Democrats.
Literally.
And so if we take back, if the first time in 20 years we actually fight a little bit about it, maybe people won't quit dropping out of the Republican Party.
Right. Well, because again, what's happened is, and Neil and you guys, you can go to mycoloradogop.org if you want the deep in the weeds stuff about this, but they have the charts that show what's happened to Republican registration, what's happened to Republican donations. I mean, it's just all plummeted. I mean, and keep in mind, Democrats thought of this. We need to, just in general, we love Ted Trimpa, but if he says this is a good idea, guys, then we need to say, like, okay, vote no, just vote no on this. And I have to say, because I was right about the Biden thing, but I have to admit.
You were right. I've done my own mental fact checking and you are correct.
But I'm going to now say I was wrong on another thing. Previously, I have been saying, and Chuck, you've convinced me on this, that you know what? The Republicans, what we need to do is we need to learn to ballot harvest. We need to learn to do this. We need to learn to do that. Some of that's true, but I think you're absolutely right. The Democrats have that infrastructure in place, which is why they push for it, right? That's why they push for ballot harvesting, all mail ballots. What Republicans need to do is the same thing the Democrats did when they realized they were losing in Colorado. They changed the rules and stupid Republicans went along. We need to now change the rules back. This is what, and I used to think, no, we just need to get better at it than the Democrats. And you have convinced me their infrastructure and their money, it makes that impossible.
Well,
it's the difference
between urban and suburban and rural.
Right.
If you want a ballot harvest, it is very, very hard to ballot harvest in a suburban area and impossible to ballot harvest in a rural area. It really needs big cities, huge complexes, lots of people who could care less about who they vote for. It requires people who, you know, recent immigrants that just got in and don't know anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. That's what they're good for.
Right. Hey, so we've got Dave Williams.
All right.
On the phone. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time. You must be busy. Thank you for
your
time.
You must have been on something very important.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, no. I apologize for being a little, I was actually on the phone, you know, helping people get to the meeting on Saturday or find proxies. So that's why I was a little late. You know,
that's okay.
No, that's such
important. God's work. That's God's work.
So we wanted to have an update. When you guys, I mean, we were kind of talking before we had you on here that I agree with Chuck. I didn't before. But we need to change some of the rules back. The rules of the Democrats change solely to benefit them that Republicans foolishly went along with. We need to change those rules back. And I think that it all starts with taking back the Republican primary and saying very simply, you can vote in the Republican primary if you want. You just got to be a Republican. How is all of that? What do you think of that? And how's it all going?
Well, we can't keep playing the rigged game that the Democrats created and foisted upon us. I mean that's political suicide, right? You know, the Democrats control this system that they're systematically changing little by little, and they've done it over the past decade. This didn't just happen, right? They started with mail-in balloting, right? Universal mail-in balloting.
It started with taking absentee ballots and changing them to you don't have to have any reason why you want an absentee ballot.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right? I mean, the main point, with it is that the more ballots that are in circulation, amongst the population, the more likelihood Democrats will ballot harvest or straight up fraud will occur. And the Democrats know this and they don't care because it usually favors them.
Right.
That's not it though, right? Then we had these massive changes in election laws that, led us all the way to open primaries. And that's not the end of the decision. We still have ranked choice voting that's going to be, put upon the state soon. And all these things taken together are going to ensure that Republicans stay in a permanent minority status. And so a part of the way to solve the problem is to take ourselves or remove ourselves from the rigged system. And no one's suggesting that opting out is a silver bullet. It's not. It's really a half measure. If we don't chip away at this stuff, then there's no point in having a party, in the long term, because we're not going to win anything.
I was going to say, Dave, I think that there's even a step two, and I know that this is something you guys are working on. One of the things too, and as you said, there's no magic silver bullet that's suddenly going to erupt in Republicans winning everything, but we need to approach it the same way the Democrats did, piece by piece by piece, and dismantle essentially what they created. But one of the things too is this unconstitutional, you have to have 75% of the party vote to opt out. I mean, the reason they put that in is because they knew it would be impossible. And I think it's been proven to be unconstitutional when it's been challenged, right?
Well, not that particular
right.
one. The one where it was impossible, literally impossible, they mandated unaffiliated vote in Republican primaries, was made unconstitutional. So they said, okay, we'll be tricky-dicky this time. We'll make it literally almost impossible. Is that okay? I mean, is that fine?
I mean, that's a good point. They're seeing what they can get away with, and the problem is they're getting away with it because no one's challenged it, and now's the time to challenge it. And here's a question that, you and your listeners should be asking yourselves about those who oppose the opt-out. All these politicians who are coming out of the woodworks, who you don't normally see fight, right? They're usually quiet when Democrats are ruining our state and taking away our freedoms. But now that they're, getting out of their chairs or and sofas and making a noise about how we shouldn't opt-out, you should ask yourselves, why are they doing everything they can to oppose efforts to overturn an unconstitutional piece of law?
Everybody admits it's unconstitutional, but we should follow the unconstitutional law. Why?
Right. Why do they want us to follow the unconstitutional law? That's exactly the question that everyone should be asking themselves. How do they benefit? And, Hugo Chavez, he's a chair of the Hispanic Republicans, he put out something on his Facebook recently that kind of outlined it beautifully. Follow the money. This is something that Rush Limbaugh used to talk about on his program with the Democrats. Follow the money. See who benefits, and it'll become very clear to you why a lot of these guys are coming out on the wrong side of this issue and trying to protect the status quo. I mean, we Republicans lose open primaries, and we're losing because of an unconstitutional law on its face. It's not just the 75%. It's the fact that they're forcing us to take in people that don't want to register with our party and pick our nominees. That's a violation of the First Amendment.
Right.
But yet you don't have these party insiders wanting to do anything about it. And the sad truth is they don't care. They do not care. They're happy. They're content with the small sliver of power that they have now because, hey, at least, you know, they have a seat at the table, so to speak. And, well, that might be good and profitable for them. It's a it's a bad deal for us rank and file, you know, American Republicans who just want to, you know, pursue the America First agenda. That
what's
Donald
so
Trump,
good about the
know,
Hugo Chavez one? We went down, Dave, I and Anil went down to take on Stu Parker and Jimmy Singer, and it was, you know, a real brawl fest, emotional, everything else. And I don't think Hugo had made up his mind prior to that. So I thought that
you convinced
the
him.
Three of us managed to do a good job, and his Facebook page post is tremendous. And I hope that gets out so that everybody gets to read it.
Well, and Dave, you raise a good point. When you look at the people who are supporting this, they're kind of all, not all, but for the most part, establishment
rhinos,
people.
They're rhinos. And even not rhinos, they're swinos. They're swinos or the Liz Cheneyos. Or, I mean, Ken Buck, former chairman, who calls our election system the gold standard, decides that we have to stay in our rigged primaries because we love losing, and losing is fun. I guess that's what it is. But I mean, I think if somebody was decided to be with the opt-out people, they're almost universally good people. If they are on the other side, they are some good people. I haven't identified who, but some good people, but mostly the people you really...
Well, they're people who benefit.
No, they're just swinos and rhinos, and while some are good, boy, it's not a lot.
Well, and Dave, I think, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'll be as fair as possible. There are decent people who do have, you know, a legitimate disagreement on going in this direction, but I think I'll put it to you this way. I'm not surprised by who's coming out against this stuff. They're usually the same old individuals who don't want to change, you know, anything or engage in any sort of meaningful reform because it's not good for business, so to speak. So I think, you know, there's no other better time than to really perform. I mean, we really have nothing to lose because we're not going to win in 2022 if we're kept on the same trajectory. It's just not happening. Between redistricting and the dark money that's flowing into Colorado, coupled with ranked choice voting that's, I'm telling you, it's coming down the pipe. It's going to ruin us.
Final five voting, where you get rid of the parties. And
well, then let's go back, because I think it's a bit of a history lesson, Chuck, which you started, is important here, because the Democrats are clever. They're like the Taliban, right? They think long term, and they think take over the entire world. They don't think just give us our districts and we'll be happy there. No, they're going to take over the entire country and get rid of voting. So it all started, Chuck, like you said, with absentee ballots. Who can be opposed to absentee ballots? If you're sick, you should be able to.
No,
vote.
Well, then they change it.
Then what I said. Then what they do is.
And who did it?
Ted Trimpa.
No, David. They got a Republican Secretary of State. The usual. How to sell out your own? And this is a good bipartisan one. So you should be absentee without any reason. And of course that began the avalanche.
Right.
Of
so
changes.
What I'm saying is, so first absentee, that sounds good. Who would be opposed to that? Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you don't have to give a reason. And that's like, well, that's convenient. Then you just mail it in. Then it's all mail ballot. I mean, Dave, they do it incrementally. And I think
same day registration.
Now, all of a sudden, you don't need to verify signatures. Jenna Griswold pulls out of the interstate compact that checks registered voters here with registered voters in other states. I mean, you're right. You know, and explain to folks if they don't understand the danger of ranked choice. And I think it's been ranked choice voting on your cell phone, frankly, before all is said and done.
It will be.
Well, I mean, ranked choice voting, it's you know, it's one of these things where it sounds good, right? And they pitch it as a money saver thing, and they also pitch it as a way to, you know, avoid having the most extreme, you know, candidates getting elected. Really, when they say the most extreme, they're saying we don't want the conservatives elected.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's another discussion. Really, what the ranked choice voting is, it's essentially an instant runoff election. So they're trying to basically say, okay, tell us who you want to vote for, you know, who's your first candidate, and then, you know, tell us who your second choice is, just in case, you know, we need to have that instant runoff, so to speak.
Right.
And that the problem with doing that is, well, I mean, take a look anywhere where it's implemented. Democrats usually, you know, went out on that, unless it's a, you know, an extremely safe Republican seat and there's no way a Democrat can win. But in any event, you know, these ranked choice voting methods are, they favor Democrats. That's why they're pushing it, right? No Democrat donor is going to invest millions of dollars
right
into a project if they don't feel that it's going to yield an investment, you know, that they like. And that's why Catherine Murdoch with Unite America poured in, you know, $100 million into their national effort.
Well, that's coming out in
Alaska right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing they do that's tricky is they want to get rid of the Electoral College, right? And they push it sounds so good they say so it, good. One person, one vote. That's America, right? And then you realize, yeah, if you happen to live in L.A., New York, Pennsylvania, Chicago, it's a good deal for you. But if you happen to live anywhere besides some of those major, you know, states that have these major metropolitan areas, essentially it removes all voice from you. And what they did is they realized they could never get it done on a national level. So they've been sneakily going around state to state and getting it done. And they did it here in Colorado. I mean, there's a reason the Democrats want to get rid of the Electoral College. You look at the maps, right? I mean, the middle country is red, right? The coastal elites.
Well, it also, it's if, you know, they don't cheat in Kansas. They really don't very often, or Nebraska. They cheat a lot in New York City. I'm from New York City. They cheat a lot there. And so now you kind of go, well, if we throw in another 10,000 votes on our side of rigged ballots, that could make the difference nationally, along with other. So it'll just be who can cheat the best. And we know who can cheat the best. Yeah. The Democrats can cheat the best. They're the best cheaters, liars, thieves, and crooks in America. They're excellent at those things. That's what they've been doing for 150 years.
Well, Dave, let me ask you, because you guys now have started, and Chuck and the Rebel Alliance started this, you know, the beginning of the summer. You traveled over the state, all over the state, talked to all kinds of people. And I thought, you know, very little chance of it actually kind of coming together. But it does seem to be coming together, as, frankly, good ideas do when, you know, when you're right, you're right. How do you see this? I mean, how do you see this, or what can you tell us about how it's coming along and maybe what might happen on Saturday?
I mean, it's coming along great. I don't think anyone should be surprised, you know, when the results come in and a majority of the party rejects the open primary. That's, you know, that's going to happen. The question has always been, you know, can we reach the impossible, you know, threshold of 75%? And if, you know, history is any indication, it's likely not to happen, because we have never, I don't think, to my knowledge anyway, we've never been able to get at least 75% of the entire membership to even show up.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, there's that hurdle, but there's most in the party get why we should do this, and they understand that if you look at the history of Colorado, open primaries are a loser for the GOP.
Right.
You know, why would we keep subjecting ourselves to a crooked system, you know, that's, you know, the votes are counted by Dominion and they're counted by Democrats we know are not honest.
Right.
And that, you know, that still doesn't account for the millions in dark money that's going to flow through the election cycle picking our nominees.
Right.
Why? And what crazy world should the Republican Party, you know, just roll over and let cheating Democrats count our votes and spend millions to manipulate who our nominees become? It makes zero sense.
Dr. Donna has a question for you, Dave. Please ask Dave how one not on the SEC can attend on Saturday. Thank you.
To my knowledge, if you're a registered Republican, you're welcome to come. I think you have to check in at the credentials desk and be a guest, so to speak. But it's always been my understanding that if you're a registered Republican but you're not on the committee, you're still welcome. You just have to notify who you are and check in.
Is there any word about, is this, I think it would probably be very difficult to do. Is there any kind of live streaming thing going on? Offhand, I don't know how you would live stream something with that many people. Okay.
My guess is that there might be a recording of it, but I don't know if there'll be an official live stream of it.
Yeah.
We certainly did that in the past during COVID, during the COVID restrictions, but since we're not operating under those rules anymore, I'm not sure if they're doing it.
Okay. So that you'd have to go to Pueblo if you want to go. When will they, just for some logistical stuff, because Chuck is driving down on Friday, so we'll talk, we'll check in with you there. Do we know what time this will be, or when will we can expect results or anything like that?
So the meeting starts at 9. Check-in for any voting member ends at 10 a.m. The agenda is pretty jam packed. So, and they placed the opt out at the end of the agenda.
Very end, just to make it as annoying.
So it's possible it could be, towards the afternoon time frame that we actually get a vote on it. Hopefully not. But to my understanding, everything's being done by paper ballot.
Okay.
So we may not see results until later in the day and even in the night.
But you can guarantee that everything's set up by the establishment to be, before they just dying, they love electronic voting, they love remote voting, so forth. But now they can view it as we need 75% there for them to even hold the vote. They all of a sudden like paper ballots. Can you imagine that? I mean, I remember a couple of guys on my team go, "Yay, we won!" They kind of go, "No,
no."
They had a purpose for this. Everything they do is tricky and without decency. But
wow.
Also, I ask, well, it is. I mean, they didn't. No, they all love electronic voting. They love it. And then the fact they made it paper ballot meant they figured, hey, they can't get 75% to come. That's the only reason, or they would have done electronic. That is their fee to do it. Now, there's no fee to come to the SEC meeting.
No, they should pay you for going, because I can imagine it's. Leo is saying, oh, they'll have the gold standard. Okay, well, Dave, is there anything? I mean, I know you guys have been doing a great job and working hard and continue to work hard. For the folks listening, I mean, is there anything they can do to help? I mean, maybe share Hugo Chavez's post. If you're not a voting...
Yeah, certainly. Certainly share Hugo's posts. One of the best things they could do is call up their county chair and tell them, hey, vote for the opt-out. We want you to vote for the opt-out and get us out of this rigged system that we know we can't win in. Let's do something different. Let's empower the grassroots to have successful caucuses and assemblies, and don't believe the lies. And that's one of the best things any normal Republican can do right now is contact their county chair or vice chair or secretary and let them know they need to vote for this.
All right.
Well, that's great. Well, great work, Dave.
Thank you for. We'll let you get back to work again. So, thank you for your help and everything you've been doing on this. Appreciate it.
Take care.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Yep. All right.
Bye.
Dave Williams there. And if you want to know, okay, so how do I know your county chair, whatever county you live in, you could just go to that, like Adams County GOP. If you go on the internet, you can find it and it gives the contact information there. Well, and again, Chuck, I'm going to say you once again were right. The way to do this is not to try to use the rules that the Democrats have created and see if we can beat them at their rules. What we need to do is change the rules.
They changed the rules because they didn't like them.
Right.
They said we can have rules that are in our favor. So they changed them to the neutral rules. They changed to their favor, and we kind of go, oh, we got to keep those. Oh, we love the Democratic rules.
And look what the Democrats Democrats are doing nationwide. Ted Trimpa tried to pawn that off on us the other day when he was on the show. Goes, well, the Republicans are trying to change the election system. I'm like, the Republicans. It's
like change electoral college, Ted?
Uh-huh. It's kind of like, and that's the lie that they're putting out there now, is like, oh, the Republicans are voter suppression. It's like, no, we just want to go back to one person, one vote. You had to be a registered voter. You had to be an American citizen, because that's going to be next. Because one of the things the ballot mules do, and the Project Veritas did a good job with this, is they would show people going into, I think they were into giant apartment complexes where mostly people from Somalia lived, right? Uh-huh. And they were just going door to door saying, they weren't saying, explaining how to fill the ballot out. No.
They were filling it out.
No, they were just taking the blank ballots. That guy had, what, several hundred of them in his car.
Yeah.
And they were paying them. They were paying
here's
people,
$10 for that ballot.
$10 for the ballot or whatever. And then they take into some central sweatshop. And then somebody else fills them all out and they sign it. And that's why they don't want signature verification. That's what we're up against. We cannot beat that, nor should we try. So I think you're right. To me, and I've heard you guys talk about this, and I agree. So first you get rid of this, a primary where you don't have to be a Republican to vote in the Republican primary. Get rid of that. Secondly, you make it unconstitutional, so they can't pass other laws that say you need 75%. You get rid of that. Then I think you get the next Republican Party chairperson, whoever it is, should say, you know what else we're going to do? We want to put an initiative on the ballot, because polls show most people don't like the concept of ballot harvesting.
They get that's cheating,
right?
You think all the fat cats in the Republican Party would be getting their money for that rather than fighting the opt-out.
I mean,
you know, I got to fight for the Democratic crook rules.
Yeah, just make ballot harvesting illegal. So that way, not a silly rule where you only have 10 or you can do this many, because you've got a Democrat attorney general, you've got Democrat DAs, which is why they want those people in part who aren't going to prosecute the cases.
Right.
Secretary of State, Democrat, they're not going to go after. But if it's just illegal, right, I think you cut down a ton of it. And
yes,
I think it's like you said, you need to change the system back to ways that benefit Republicans, which is, you know, what?
Neutral.
We'll settle for neutral.
Neutral would be great. If the Republicans would ever actually do something that would improve Republicans over Democrats, that would be so unusual. So your only two choices are neutral or pro-Democrat. That's the only two choices you get.
That's right. And then Dr. Donna says their county chair went on a long blathering about why we ought not to close and ended up saying he's not going to tell them how to vote. It's like, well, there you go.
That's if he could tell them.
We're going to switch gears here a little bit. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. 888-627-6008. Again, if you're on Zoom, you can put your comments in the chat section and we'll read those, or go ahead and just unmute yourself or raise your hand and we'll bring you up there too. Oh, and here's what I should mention too. If anyone listening is like, hey, I'd like to join in on Zoom because it's really kind of cool. You just go to zoom.us and it's the same meeting number every show, 209-576-423. So when you go to Zoom, you just put in what says join meeting. It's 209-576-423. I want to play you for fun. This is kind of fun. I love the Sky News people. They had a thing on, they had over the weekend, somebody, or I guess it was maybe Monday, somebody interviewed Joe Biden. And what they did is this was on YouTube. They're like, I will give a check to anyone who can tell me.
The head of Sky News.
Right. So, Thomas, if we could play the Biden sound bite, please.
He'd give you money to anyone who could explain what he's trying to say.
So the Biden sound bite, please.
Here we go. Let's end the evening with a word from the leader of the free world. I'll personally write a check to anybody who can decipher what Joe Biden is trying to convey here.
Yeah, that, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But it's the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that's coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee and in Afghanistan, you're the one. No, anyway.
Florida, Robert E. Lee. How is that man dressing himself, let alone leading the most powerful nation on earth?
It's like, it's like, what? They want to box him? I should be so let. I mean, I, it's kind of like, that's why that they keep turning his mic off. That's why they don't let him talk. That's why they don't let him do anything. And I have a feeling, you know, maybe General Milley should get involved at some level and say, you know, look, I'm going to just go ahead and take the phone away, Joe. Anyway, I thought that was just kind of funny. So do you want to talk about the Milley thing? You want to talk about the Biden poll or all of the above?
Well, let's talk about General Milley, who seems to have acknowledged that he called his Chinese counterpart, even though he was, and I didn't really know this, but the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is simply an advisor. He has no authority to issue any order.
Right.
Or do anything.
Do anything to the military. He couldn't tell you, salute me. Well, I guess he could tell you that. But he has no authority over any military people.
He's simply an advisor to the President of the United States. And so he's calling up behind Trump's back and telling the Chinese that, no, we're not going to nuke them. So that I'm sure they're going, you were going to nuke us?
Yeah. Well, and Trump is like, what?
He said he read the intelligence. And so, I bet you read the intelligence. And
Well, and what's come out, it is interesting when you watch. So Fox News's Jen Griffin, who clearly has sour sources in the Pentagon that she wants to protect and keep, is essentially been trying to say, oh, this is all a big misunderstanding.
There were a lot
of people in the room. It wasn't. And then other people come out. Miller, who was the
assistant secretary, acting secretary of state.
In this time frame when these calls occurred, when it occurred.
Yeah.
So, and because initially she tried to say he knew, and he's like, I didn't know. I would have never authorized this. What are you talking about? So on the one hand, you've got them trying to say one side of the deep state is saying massive, huge, huge, get rid of Milley. The other side saying, oh, no, totally normal. Yeah, I mean, this is no big deal. Nothing to see here. Walk away. I think after listening to that Biden soundbite, if they're trying to explain it to him, he's like, who's Milley? Isn't Milley a dog? Wasn't that Obama's dog or somebody's dog, Bush's dog named Milley? I mean, but it does seem to me, like I was saying earlier, that what you do have there is a deep state. It says a lot that you would have this guy feel like it's okay in any stretch of the imagination. I mean, even The View says this is bad. Right.
Some members.
To start calling up other countries, enemies, really, not just other countries, other enemies who, if we did decide we needed to attack him, it would probably be bad that we were going to let them know, because then they would attack us first, right? So that could have negative repercussions. But that they felt emboldened enough to do that and to talk to Bob Woodward about it.
Yeah, well, Bob Woodward is all. It's disgraceful. And really, Jan Griffin and her hustling for the Pentagon is getting a little old too, to hear the truth. She's various times.
Yes.
Acting very self-important.
Well, and meanwhile, they're ignoring some of the stuff that matters, right? It was, they had Blinken on the stand, he was in before Congress, and they're saying, they're questioning him about, so the Biden, who's, everything's going badly, they do a drone strike, right? And theoretically, the drone blows up a car that they had information was loaded with explosives on its way to.
There are huge secondary explosions after they hit the one, which proves, of course, that they're saying, and it ends up some aid workers distributing water
to his family.
And they're just totally lying. There's no secondary explosion.
No, they just shot some car.
Yeah, I don't think they intentionally killed an aid worker. But when they lied about the other thing, saying secondary explosions prove that, you know,
right,
there were no secondary explosions. And a credit to the New York Times, which is not getting much credit these days and doesn't deserve.
Well,
much.
And that's the thing. Let me just finish this thought. So then you have Rand Paul. Thank goodness for him. Questioning Blinken, and saying, you know, he says, well, how did that happen? He said, well, it's under investigation. And Rand Paul says, shouldn't you investigate before you off somebody?
Before you kill
them,
not whether you should have killed them.
But I think you look at the New York Times doing the story. I think what we're seeing here is a fight going on, or a power struggle between sort of the Pentagon people and then the State Department, CIA, deep state people, right? And then they're trying to blame each other for various debacles. But the bottom line is you don't get the impression at all that, number one, any of them are going to pay any attention to Congress. I mean, how many times we were talking before about they've got these poor gymnasts talking about being sexually abused, the FBI ignoring it. Christopher Wray still up there right? I mean, if you're Christopher Wray, are you worried that you got to go testify before Congress? I mean, Zuckerberg, look what they've done. It's like, if you're Mark Zuckerberg, are you worried that you got to go testify before Congress? No, they're not going to do anything to you. Blinken didn't even show up, right? He's doing
it. No, it was Austin. Blinken showed up.
Okay. The other guy didn't even show up.
Secretary of Defense didn't show up. So I'm coming there later.
If you're the deep state, and where's the Durham report, right? I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah, the Durham report. Yes,
are any of these players, these deep state people, worried about anything? They're not. So they're.
I always considered myself a little bit of a cynic about government, even from a young age. I was nowhere near enough cynic. There's no depth of cynicism about how bad all these lettered agencies and our federal government is. It is.
Well, and again, I think one of the problems with Congress is I think that many of these people in the Senate, like the Senate Armed Services Committee, the Senate Department of Justice, places like that, I think that many of these people, they're all connected, right? They're all benefiting. I mean, when you look at it, people work in the department, they get out, they become consultants, and they work in the department, get out, and become consultants. If you're a senator, if you decide not to run again,
Cory Gardner.
Right. You get out and you become a consultant. They're all making a ton of money. And they, in a way, they're probably right. You know, Joe Biden, whether he knows what he's talking about or like, is it could carve the turkey dinner or drive Rev to school or not, it doesn't matter.
Would you, honestly, if Joe Biden came by and said, hey, I'll drop a kid off
let him babysit. No. And Mark, I don't know. I see you, Mark. If you want to come on, if anybody wants to come on, just go ahead and unmute yourself and we can bring you up. I don't mean to put somebody on the spot. Another thing then too, I wanted to talk about, the good news, the Quinnipiac poll. I think that Biden announced the COVID vaccine thing and the vaccine mandate in part because he wanted to get his poll numbers up. That didn't work. It's gone the other way. But something very interesting to notice. So when Biden announced that the federal government workers have to be vaccinated, there was a deadline, a procedure, and very clearly rules for government contract companies. Again, a deadline, very clear, specific rules. When he said that private companies that have 100 or more employees have to mandate vaccines, it's just a little paragraph. Mm. There's nothing. I mean, and companies have been complaining about this, right? It's just a paragraph saying that they were working. The OSHA was working on rules. They don't have them yet. It's been a week later. Now, you could say you would think you should have the rules before you mandate something. Again, just like checking out who the drone is going to hit before you shoot it. No, we'll just deal with that afterwards and hope for the best. I wonder if, again, this is another sort of deep state feint, kind of like the eviction moratorium that Biden did. He knew it was unconstitutional. He said it anyway. It was shot down right away, but he did it to look good. He figured, hey, there'll probably be some companies that'll mandate it, right? That's why he's meeting with like Walmart or Disney, places like that, to try to convince them to do that, to do the vaccine. I mean, I don't think when you look at it, if I were a private company, I'd just say, screw it. You know, I'm not even going to worry about this until you show me some rules. And again, I find it very suspicious that they didn't bother to come up with the rules, haven't come up with any deadlines.
Because they're you know, wait long enough and they just don't want some crazy company going to court and saying, you know, he doesn't have the constitutional authority to demand that everybody be vaccinated. And it's Joe Biden has got it. I cannot think of a worse president in the history of mankind. I mean,
well, and again, it's not just him, but it's the administration. And, you know, it's the Democrats in control of everything. And they don't even, another thing, like I said, they don't even hide it anymore, right? They just issue this. They know they don't have rules. They know sooner or later, somebody's going to go to the Labor Department website trying to find out what to do with their company. They're going to be like, they're not serious about this. You know, the Ocasio-Cortez dress, you know, kerfuffle, right? She goes to the Met Gala wearing a dress that says tax the rich, you know, wearing a designer dress at an event where tickets cost $30,000, wearing what, $300 earrings, $600 shoes, and she wants to tax the rich. I mean, everybody there is, you know, and all the people are like, great courage, because they know they're not going to be taxed. We're going to be taxed. Yeah. They know they can support it. They're like, oh, we love tax the rich. You're so clever, Ocasio. And by the way, who paid for a freaking ticket?
$30,000 ticket.
$1,000 ticket, it seems to me that that violates the rules. As I understand it, she's not supposed to accept gifts like that for entertainment. And if she used her campaign money, she's got to report. That's a misuse of campaign money, right?
Man, what do you bet she didn't pay for the dress either?
Oh, no. And is anything going to happen to her? No. And they know that. And that's why, again, circling back around to the opt-out, we got to start changing the rules. We got to stop letting ourselves be bullied. We got to start standing up, which you guys, I know you know this and you do this, and saying, no, I'm not going to wear your mask. No, I'm not going to get the vaccine if me and my doctor decide it's not a good medical decision for me. I'm not going to do anything that you're telling me, Joe Biden, if I don't decide to do so. Look how they're attacking that poor rapper who just said, I'm doing the research. People should decide for themselves. Yeah. Boom, you'd fit. Yeah, she's probably a racist, even though she's black. She's probably a racist. Like,
no, she has 22,000 followers.
22 million.
22 million. And Joy Reid was attacking her. And then the next day, well, no, she brings out an important point here, as I'm sure she was getting.
No, they're going to tell her, because, again, she's somebody who's not toeing their line. So they're going to call her a white supremacist, just like Larry Elder, right?
Yeah, all these black people.
Or a white supremacist who are sticking up for themselves and just saying what they think. It's, I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Rev. Oh, Dr. Dono is like, yes, our son's name is Rev. He left his notepad with AOC. Yeah, I don't know, just real quick, just so everybody knows, Rev's full name, it's a family name, is, should we say it? Right?
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Charles Reverdy Bowie Bonniewell the Fourth.
It's
his full name. It doesn't fit on any form, so we call him Rev.
Short for Reverdy.
Hey, that's going to about wrap it up for us today. We've got just a couple minutes left. So on Friday, we're going to get a live report from Chuck. And
heading down to the big slugfest in Pueblo.
That's right. And lots of other stuff to talk about. And as always, we'll take your calls and comments. I love when you guys comment on chat. That's kind of just fun. It makes it just seem so
intimate.
And some of them, you guys, you go off tangent too, but that's okay.
You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want on this show. Everyone's voice is always welcome. Hey, you can catch the show and the podcasts all the time at chuckandjulie.com. If you ever want to listen live, you can go there. It links you right to the BBS site.
Is it 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock? Randy's debating.
Oh yeah, we'll promote something. I'm not sure. Five to six, you said.
5 to 6. Okay, from 5 to 6, go on Stephen Tubbs' show. Randy is going to be debating
George
Red Flag Brockler.
If he shows up, he didn't show up.
I love George, the person. I love him. That some of the positions he takes, he kind of like. I don't know. But it'll be Randy versus the Red Flag.
So there at 7:10 KNUS. That will do it for the Chuck and Julie show. ChuckandJulie.com. Thanks to everybody on Zoom. Thanks everybody for listening. The great guys at BBS and Dave Williams. We'll see you on Party Friday.
Opt out.